Our land is like our parent. It provides us food, clothing, and shelter. Without our land, we would be homeless. We'd be like orphans.
Alaska Natives hoped their lands would be secure after Congress passed the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act in 1971. But that law put those very lands at risk and forever changed the way Native peoples think about the land. Village people from all over Alaska tell the meaning of the land and sea and the importance of holding our ground.
Funding for Holding Our Ground is provided by the Alaska Humanities Forum, the National Endowment for the Humanities, Rural Alaska Community Action Program, the North Slope Borough, and Zients Pertl Law Firm.
My name is Lydia George. I'm a housewife. I have 8 children, 4 daughters and 4 sons, 14 grandchildren. The land was very valuable to the Tlingit people of Angoon. We, as people, live off the land. Subsistence, our way of life.
In the past, Alaskan Natives had never worried about owning land. No one needed to own it as long as they could freely make a living from the land.
I was a member of Central Council when we got in the land claim fight. We went and studied the land issues and how it's going to affect our lives. The people at that time said, get some of the land back for our children and our grandchildren. I went and did a survey in the Tlingit language. We covered the whole island with Tlingit names and the family where they hunted and fished and trapped. We have landmarks. It was written on the hillside, on the rock itself, and on the mountainside.
In the past, Alaskan Natives had never worried about owning land. No one needed to own it as long as they could freely make a living from the land.
The reason why we hold, as Tlingit people, before the land claims, hold land was for trapping, family use. One bay belonged to one family where the men trapped, hunted, and then they fished. So the people of Angoon covered the whole island.
ANCSA, the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, forced Alaska Natives to deal with Western ideas of land ownership.
Once the whole island was owned by the people of Angoon. So when we got in the land claims, the way the laws were written, we had to compromise to get some of the land back. And what we got back for Angoon was a township. 36 square miles. Here we used to own the whole island, but the bill that was made in Congress only provided a township.
Under ANCSA, Congress created more than 200 Native profit-making corporations to hold the land, about one-tenth of Alaska.
So regional corporation was formed, village corporation is formed under the state laws, which is foreign to our Tlingit people. It isn't our way of life. The rules and regulations that we have to abide by, as of now, isn't our way of life.
Those corporations were then paid a total of nearly $1 billion to drop claims to other traditional lands, which included most of Alaska. Those vast areas of land, which Alaska Natives used freely before 1971, were suddenly divided into federal, state, and Native corporation ownership. Now, the various landowners have different ideas about how to use the lands within their own boundaries. Tommy Unteguk of Kotzebue.
We did not have a concept of boundaries, of unseen line traced over the earth and dividing the land. If someone established a fish camp, it was considered that person or that family's fish camp. It was permanent in everyone's mind and considered settled. Now, with the deeds, lawyers, who can be sure of anything?
Equally unsure are the economic opportunities in these remote lands, most of which are accessible only by boat or small plane. The main corporate asset is land. Unless the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act is changed, the remaining native lands can be lost through corporate takeover, bankruptcy, and taxation, all of which are very real and imminent possibilities. Sid Casey.
Nobody in their right mind in America would take all of their assets and put them into a business and go 100%, which we were forced to do as native groups. Because when the business goes down, also the land and all of our holdings go down.
Alaska's land-based native culture and cash-based Western economic values are two radically different value systems. The problem is fitting those two very different systems into one mold. The lands upriver from the village of Tuluksac, Noah Andrews' boyhood home, now belong to the state of Alaska and the federal government. Noah Andrew.
Where I once crawled as a baby boy and picked up a berry to eat, now is considered federally or state-owned. Where I once set my trap with my father is no longer any good for that purpose because it's claimed by another organization. My tribe and I still hunt in these areas. Some of these hunting grounds where I hunted and picked berries have written posters saying, off limits, restricted. It isn't satisfying to see these posters hanging on the trees right alongside my hunting trail. My subsistence hunting area granted down to me from my great-grandfather, which was granted to him from the great native spirit, where I can't hunt any longer because the state claimed. I am, and I may still be, a law-abiding citizen at times. It makes me to feel like I am arrested in a way, even though I am not, because I can't do certain things on the very land that I run around and hunt as a small boy, and it wasn't long ago either.
The state has granted a permit to a mining company to work its claim in the area. That's why the no trespassing signs have gone up. This new boundary is one of thousands where native land values confront Western society's land values. Elaine Pitka of Ruby.
The Native Claims Act produced the native lands into checkerboard patterns and different types of land ownership surrounding the area. And the people have to comply with the regulations that govern each section of land. Our people were nomadic people. They lived with the land and on the land. They were the land.
My name is Xavier Joseph. I'm from Aluknuk. When I was small, I remember nobody really owned the land. When you want to build your house, you build it where you think it'll stay without going over the riverbank. Today, you have to get permission from different organizations if you want to build a house.
Natives have always dealt with the forces of nature in using the land. Now they must also contend with the forces of ANCSA and the Western legal system. Noah Andrew.
I know I own this land because I can prove it. I can bring the state official, federal official, and the Secretary of Interior to where I cut off the branch to make a slingshot, right where he claimed the land, where I once hunted as a boy. Or where I cut off a branch to make bow and arrow, so I can hunt a pigeon, maybe catch a muskrat and bring it home. The state and federal government, no matter how hard they try, cannot prove they own the land. They might have 1,000 papers floating around, but that won't prove they lived on it. The natives of Alaska can prove they own the land. They depend on the land for many reasons. I, among many, knows land must be preserved. I will be among many to fight this act to reclaim my tribal land.
The signs are practically invisible where Noah Andrew cut a branch for a slingshot or put down his muskrat trap. There are few indications out on the tundra, in the woods, on the lakes and rivers, that native peoples have been living off this land for centuries.
Our history says that we have seen 2 ice ages.
Evelyn Pete of Copper Center.
We didn't mess up the land when we lived here. You don't have to abuse the land just to show proof of ownership.
Natives never needed title to the land before. If the land provides everything in your life, it is natural to call it yours.
To know that we own land gave us comfort, gave us refuge. It was home. From it we gained food.
Tlingit Indian elder Walter Sobolev of Angoon.
From it we gained medicine. On it we performed the ancient ceremonies. It gave strength to the clan. It gave strength to the family life and courage and pride.
Even though natives never had any land deeds or titles, there was never any danger of losing the land.
One of our Tlingit law is that the land for the tribe and clan is inherited. Land inheritance was endless. It was a law of perpetual occupancy.
In the native view of the world, land is not real estate. It cannot be bought or sold. Sheila Agathario of Larson Bay.
You can't own it. The land passes on. This business of owning a land and moving it around as a monetary object is something that is not part of the native culture.
When Catherine Atla of Huslia talks about the land, she hopes that her words will bridge the gap between native and Western worlds.
Our land is our savings account. Urban people have their savings account in a bank, money they make working. We're pretty much the same. We work here too. People work for a living. But our savings is our land, our gain.
The savings account was shared by everyone. There were no individual accounts. Kenneth Nanaluk of Togiak.
For generations passed on, as proud Eskimos, Eskimo natives, as well as Indians and Aleuts, any food caught from the land and water was shared and is shared within the family circle. These simple words of water and land are the utmost being of us right now, giving, informing, passing on our traditional traits.
Eskimos, Indians, and Aleuts in Alaska speak with one voice when it comes to the land. And when they speak of land, they include the water. Alaska has two-thirds of America's coastline. Most natives live near rivers or the coast, but ANCSA only recognized the land. Sven Hawkinson of Old Harbor.
Every village on Kodiak Island sits there, and from centuries back in the diggings, archaeological diggings or whatever you call it, they find fish bones, fish tools, hooks. And then they take the water away from us and give us land. How could we live without the water?
Alaska natives living in the bush still need the land and the sea to survive. Even as the cash economy grows, the native identity with the land remains constant.
If we want to survive...
Jonathan Solomon of Fort Yukon.
And to keep our land, which is the most important thing in the Indian life, is the identity with land. We must have that land.
Antoinette Homer from Craig.
Our culture comes from that land. That's how we define ourselves as people. That's where we derive our identity.
Leonard Nalpakok of Gamble.
Our language is a tie to our roots down there. Our roots being our lifestyle. Our lifestyle into the ground that we live on, the land.
Those timeless values now confront a different political reality, the world of corporate land ownership. Historically, corporations and land ownership are new ideas in Alaska. Alaskan natives were unaware of the first big land sale in 1867 when the United States paid Russia $7.2 million for Alaska. There is still dispute over what the United States bought. Even Russians of that day wondered why anyone would pay so much for a few trading forts. Alaska natives talk about this sale as if it has just happened and something can be done to change it. Charlie Kairiwak of Chifornik.
I am against the sale of Alaska from Russia to the United States because they did not own it. They had not the right to sell the land.
More than a century has passed since Russia and the United States signed the Treaty of Cession, but natives protest what they view as the first step to losing the land. Rudolph Williams of Amonok.
After the Russians had come and claimed this land without a fight or anything, without asking the people if they could sell it or not, they just went ahead and sold this land that belonged to our forefathers. They sold it for money. They sold this land, which is ours and belonged to our forefathers since time immemorial. The Russians sold our land to the U.S. government for money, even if it was not their land.
David Galila points out that the Russian colonists never even set foot in much of Alaska.
Russia supposedly owned Alaska, but yet they never even roamed no further than the coastal, along the coast of Alaska. And in essence, what they did was just traded fur or just took some fur mammals from the coastal areas. And here comes the United States federal government saying that we want to buy Alaska from you. Now, how can somebody buy something which they've never even known in the first place?
Other people began coming to Alaska. There was the gold rush, homesteading, and one land grab after another.
The immigrants came into Alaska from the lower 48 or from the other countries like England, the Norwegians, Russia. Those people came and started settling in the lands which they never even used before. And when they settled there, they had the right to claim a land, in essence saying that this was theirs. But yet our ancestors who have been living all their lives in Alaska didn't have any right to the lands that they used.
Just as the railroad paved the way for the development of the American West and opened that frontier, it did much the same for interior Alaska. Spud Williams.
And it surely started in the early 1900s when the Alaska Railroad started coming through the country. And the chiefs from the Tananaw Chiefs region met with some of the government officials and discussed the land claims issues then. And basically the discussion was, what the hell are you doing in our country? And they tried to herd them into little tiny pieces of land, and they said, hell no, leave us alone. They had a very clear understanding of land concepts, that the land belonged to the people, and that the concept of ownership that was being impressed upon them was something so foreign that there was no real understanding of it.
The Western concept of land ownership and use may be foreign to Alaska Natives. Likewise, the Native view of land may be equally foreign to most Americans. Perry Eaton of Kodiak.
We are people of the land. We view land ownership totally different than the non-natives who have come here. We look at it different, we treat it different, and it's more than just hunting and gathering in a traditional society. For the non-native who comes into the country, land represents an opportunity. And to take advantage of that opportunity, he must use and change the land. He must subdivide it, he must sell it, he must put in a farm, he must put in a cannery. He must use the opportunity that the land represents. And the land is only, to him, opportunity.
The Alaskan Native relationship to the land is so unique, says Perry Eaton, that it sets Natives apart from other Americans.
America is made up of immigrants. They are all people that left their land. They do not have the heart or land that the Alaska Native has. When we look at land, we don't see opportunity. We see ourselves. We see our ancestors. We see our future homes, our present homes, and our past homes.
He concludes that the Western view of land poses a threat to traditional Native lands and a threat to the Native community itself.
Until we as people in our villages have that ancestral land set aside, reserved, and we have that comfort level within our hearts, I don't think that there will be any harmony in the Native community, ever. You will see an acculturation process that will leave a shattered people, just as all acculturation without an Aboriginal land base leads to a shattered people.
As long as making a profit is a priority for land use, Natives will continue to lose their land, according to Peter Schaefer of Kotzebue.
This is a statement from Pete Schaefer. Couldn't be here this evening. Historically, land has been taken from Native tribes for about 250 years. And with the white men's belief in their myth of manifest destiny, it is possible that they will continue to do so for as long as it takes them to own everything. As long as they can profit from whatever is on or below the earth, they will not stop. Unfortunately, God chose to put wealth of natural resources in our land, and like a magnet, the wealth attracts those who have no honor or respect for the people who live on the land.
ANCSA ignored the traditional Native view of the land and placed Native lands into the newly created profit-making corporations. David Galila.
And now here comes ANCSA, which in essence is a treaty. It's a modern treaty made by the federal government with the Alaska Natives, which was never even approved by the majority of the Alaska Natives. And ANCSA itself is a tool to extinguish the rights of the Alaska Natives with their land or with the way that they live.
ANCSA sought to place Alaska Natives in the American mainstream, but Sid Casey questions that judgment.
We have not entered the mainstream overall of this society, and culturally, we quite likely, in a lot of aspects, will never want to, and don't now. I do feel that we should, whatever comes out of it, we should be able to retain the basic land base for the future generations.
Concern for future generations of Alaskan Natives has kept this issue alive and very lively. Lydia George of Angoon.
Land is the issue. Land. Get some of the land back for our people, I was told. For people to build homes on, our children, for our grandchildren to have homes built on that land to subsist off. It'd be better than all the money you can get. That was the advice given to me by the elders.
As Lydia George says, the issue is still land. Under current laws, native lands are at risk as long as the corporations hold title to the lands, regardless of the corporation's success. Natives living in remote villages and urban centers alike are now looking for ways to save the land for future generations in order to maintain the special relationship with the land they have always had. Polly Kuchak of Unalakleet.
We flow with the land and its harsh but soft changes. We need to start living upon the foundations our elders planted for us with courage, respect, and dignity, for we are our proud people in our own way. How firm we stand and plant our feet upon our land determines the strength of our children's heartbeat.
Holding Our Ground, this is Adeline Raboff. This program is produced by Dykes, written by Jeff Berliner, edited and researched by Sue Burris. Mary Kansiewicz is our script consultant. Special thanks to the community of Gamble for dancing and singing, and also special thanks to the Inuit Circumpolar Conference. For more information about this and other programs in this series, write to Western Media Concepts, P.O. Box 215, Anchorage, Alaska, 99510. Holding Our Ground is a production of Western Media Concepts, which is solely responsible for the content.
Funding for Holding Our Ground is provided by the Alaska Humanities Forum, the National Endowment for the Humanities, Rural Alaska Community Action Program, the North Slope Borough, and Zients Pertl Law Firm.
Further along in this series, we will examine the role of the corporation and the tough decisions to develop lands for profit or preserve them for subsistence. Next week, I'll look at subsistence, who does it and why, in the words of Alaska's native peoples.